Cape Talk.
Cape Talk.
WhatsApp Pippa now on 072-567-1567.
They were known as the two ladies of Athlone. Some people called them the salt and pepper pots, whatever you called them. They were really something of an icon of the Cape Town landscape until they all came down with a bang a couple of years ago. More than a couple, in fact. Can you believe it is 7 years since the Athlone cooling towers came down? You know, we were chatting earlier today about where we all were and where we watched it happen. My whole family hiked up the mountain just below Rhodes Mem and stood there in the rain to watch it happen. And then later on got home and had the great amusement of watching the TV broadcast, and poor old Andrew Barnes on ETV, his face, and everybody in the room is nodding at the memory of his face when those towers came down like three minutes early, I think it was. The whole TV broadcast was set to happen at noon, and at 11:57, boom, off with the demolition. I'll never forget it. If you want to tell us where you were, what your memory is of that day, where you went to watch it, did you make a big event of it, you can give me a call. But yesterday, and the reason we're talking about this now, is the reason that we heard yesterday from Eyewitness News, that the City of Cape Town is finally ready to take the next step on that site. Lindsay Dentlinger of the EWN team has stepped into the studio to give us an update and a little bit of background reminder on the story as well. Great to have you with us, Lindsay.
Good afternoon. Thanks, Pepper.
Just remind us of the details of why the towers had to come down in the first place.
Well, as you know, it was an old station. It had been set up in 1960, and it largely stopped working really in the mid-1990s. So there really was no purpose for it. Mm-hmm. And then structural integrity made it unsafe for those towers to remain. But as you know, there's still many of the other buildings are still on the site.
On that site. There was great talk at the time they came down about the potential of that site, because let's face it, it's a big chunk of land. It's so accessible. It's on the fringes of the central city area. It's right next to a highway for easy access into town. So much hope about what could happen, particularly when you look at the greater context of Cape Town and the housing crisis. Why has it taken so long to even get to the point where we now, 7 years later, finally talking about clearing the site?
Well, you're right. It's a 36-hectare site. With all the challenges, they went out guns blazing of what the potential of the site could be. And fairly soon after the towers came down, the city did start a process to, as they call it, decommission the site, mm-hmm. which is essentially remove all that infrastructure that is on that site. And in early 2011, did put out a tender to start that process. A pre-feasibility study was conducted, which looked into the potential of that site and what really needed to be done to make it, to prepare it for future development. And then it all ground to a halt over a very protracted legal battle. They were getting ready to award a contract, and then the city itself went back on itself and went to court to try to stop this contract that it decided it was going to award, and then it decided it didn't want to award it in the end, because the same company had been involved in the pre-feasibility study and people were crying foul that they had an unfair disadvantage.
Right.
And that has been going back and forth all the way to the Constitutional Court, and it's actually only been resolved in February of this year. The Constitutional Court has actually told the city, well, you actually have to appoint that original company called Oricon.
Okay.
And they're the ones now who will be receiving a 3-year contract from the city, over 13 million rand contract, excluding VAT, to start that process of decommissioning that site.
It's still a long road ahead because, as you said, it's a process of decommissioning. It's making plans before they even carry out the work to clear the site. Have we gone any further with the vision for the end of the road of what is going to happen once it has been cleared?
That's what I've been trying to establish for the last 2 days. Unfortunately, nobody from the city is able to speak to me. But you might remember back in 2015, the city did announce that they were getting help from a World Bank team that would help them look at a strategy for the site. At the time, they mentioned, as you said earlier, housing, commercial. There was even talk at one time, and that the reason why they want to retain some of those buildings is that it could become a cultural precinct,
hub,
and they could paint and make it, you know, still and have some history, like a living museum of what those towers were. So there was a lot of talk back then. It's kind of gone quiet, and that's what I've been trying to establish as to, where that's going from here.
Lindsay Dentlinger, thanks so much for the update. Lindsay from the EWN team, and no doubt we'll continue to hear more as more information becomes available on what might happen there. Of course, it reopens the conversation about what you think should happen on that site. To me, it is an absolute no-brainer. There is a prime piece of land accessible, so suitable, I would think, as a layperson, to put housing on. But what else do you think should happen? Do you like the idea of the living museum, keeping some of the structures there and converting them into a cultural hub? Do you think it should all go to make way for housing? If you'd like to have that conversation again, it's been 7 years after all. Let's carry on talking. 021 446 0567.